Hello, and welcome to Mr. Marr's History Podcast. Google Mr. Marr History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History. In today's podcast, we will consider the historical debate around Gustav Stresemann, considering whether he deserves the title of a good European, a good German, or both. Stresemann's actions were debated not simply in Germany, but also across Europe. Some people were divided in terms of believing what his ultimate goals were. Did he want to contribute to building a strong Europe, meaning that he was a good European? Was he simply a traditional German nationalist, meaning that he was a good German? Or did he in fact believe that both were possible and necessary? We'll consider first the possibility that Stresemann deserved the title of a good European. It's worth noting that many of Stresemann's actions, such as formally agreeing reparation payments through the Dawes and Young plans, left him open to attacks from German nationalists, who believed he was selling out their country. In spite of this, he continued to pursue these policies. The policy of fulfilment, which Stresemann did not start but continued when foreign minister, meant that Stresemann and Germany was prepared to fully accept the implementation of all aspects of the Treaty of Versailles. Stresemann also only pushed for minimal reforms in relation to Versailles in order to keep peace across Europe. His role in the Locarno Treaty ensured that Germany would not get back any of its western land, and it also only gave the possibility of making gains in the east in places such as Poland and Czechoslovakia. The payment of reparations continued to outrage right-wing and nationalist Germans as well. Stresemann can also point towards his role in helping improve global relations by gaining Germany a permanent seat on the League of Nations Council with great power status. He thought this was needed for the League to work, and Stresemann did not make any significant demands about strengthening Germany's military, which was another key demand of German nationalists. All of this suggests that Stresemann was focused on the actions which were needed to not only improve Germany, but improve global conditions, even if it led to him being attacked and opposed by many in Germany. However, there are others that argue, in fact, that Stresemann was nothing more than a German nationalist, and that the actions he took were simply a ploy to allow Germany to regain its power. This is the belief that Stresemann did not genuinely support fulfilment, but instead did so simply because he feared war if Germany did not comply. This was shown in the Ruhr occupation by France and Belgium, which led to hyperinflation, where he felt Germany was unable to stop this. Fulfilment had been German policy since before Stresemann. It was started by Walther Rathenau, and many believe it saw Germany gain a better deal. The Dawes plan increased the amount of time Germany had to pay reparations, and the Young plan reduced the amount of that they actually owed. Both of these actions clearly helped Germany. The Locarno Pact also helped Germany. It secured its western borders, preventing attack from France, and it also gave them the chance to gain back territory in Eastern Europe. Stresemann also agreed deals which removed Allied troops from the Rhineland, initially, and then finally all of Germany by 1930, albeit that this was after Stresemann's death. Stresemann was also involved in the negotiation which led to the removal of the Inter-Allied Military Commission from Germany that had been checking that Germany was complying with Versailles' military commitments. However, at the same time, Germany was secretly rebuilding its military forces by training in Russia. This fact led to Stresemann gaining support from the German military. The actions that Stresemann took in international relations also were of huge use to Germany. He had said that Germany would join the League of Nations, but this was only with a permanent great power seat on the Council. This gave Germany global influence and also a chance for them to raise issues of concern. The final view, of course, is that Stresemann was in fact a mixture of both. He was both a good European and a good German, and that he was simply balancing the demands of competing groups. As a statesman, it can be argued that Stresemann inevitably played different groups against each other, which is something which is not unusual in terms of international diplomacy. It's certainly true that Stresemann's foreign policy, improved Germany. It led to reduced reparation payments, benefiting their economy, and also early Allied troop withdrawal. It also led to a decline in support for extremist parties up to 1929, as people believed that Germany was improving once more. However, at the same time, there is little doubt that Stresemann's actions also played a role in helping Europe. German membership boosted the validity of the League of Nations, and the Treaties of Locarno stabilised European geography, particularly in the West. Historians will continue to argue this, though. Sally Marks, for one, takes the view that Stresemann was simply a liar who dispensed total untruths. However, Stephen Lee would argue that Stresemann was neither a nationalist nor a European, but simply a pragmatist who adapted to the changing circumstances. Jonathan Wright, on the other hand, is more supportive of Stresemann, believing that he genuinely wanted to see a stronger Germany, although understood that this would benefit Europe as well.